lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, some having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. We have to remember that this world is getting darker and darker day by day, amen, month by month. And we have a chance to radiate a light to let them know there is hope in Jesus. And that's really important. It's so very dark out there. So now I want to take you to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28:13. And this is, first it talks about the blessings, and then it goes to the cursings. And the blessings are, you know, really wonderful. But the cursings are very interesting because a lot of them have the things that happen in Egypt, like some of the plagues. So we are experiencing in America, we've always seemed to experience the blessings, things that make us happy, and you know, we are prosperous. And we have been, for the most part, a good-natured people. But things have changed severely. So I am asking you to kind of pay attention and see if some of these cursings can be correlated with the things that are going on now and could possibly happen to us as a nation. Okay, so I'm going to start with Deuteronomy 28:13. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only, you shall not be beneath. That was part of the blessings. And if you look before in Deuteronomy 28, you will find the blessings. But now I'm just going to focus on the cursings. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and are watchful to do them, and you shall not turn from any of the words which I have commanded you this day to the right hand or to the left to go after other gods or to serve them. But, that little word, but, if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, being watchful to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, then all of these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. And God has given us blessings, but they are conditional. They're conditional upon if you do what he tells you to do. It's kind of like our parents, and they'll say, well, now, if you do the dishes, then you'll get like a treat, or, you know, I'll take you to the movies if you do all your errands like I've told you to do. But if you don't, there's going to be consequences. And so with God, he has been, you know, very gentle. He has been very forgiving and very merciful. But when the rubber meets the road, and it feels like the rubber is starting to meet the road now, we're not going to be as happy people as we were before. Okay? And so he says, these things are going to come upon you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be in your basket and your kneading trough. And so they had their little kneading bowls, you know, that they kneaded their bread in. And so if you are cursed in your basket, that means that the grains that you were supposed to go out and pick and bring in to make the bread, maybe that's scarce now. Maybe your kneading trough or your kneading bowl that you use to make your bread and make it raise, and maybe that's broken. Maybe it has a crack in it and there's some kind of bacteria in that crack. And every time you make bread, maybe you get a little bit of bacteria. We don't know. It could happen. Curse shall be the fruit of your body, of your land, and of the increase of your cattle, and the young of your sheep. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. It's kind of like saying if you've got a lot of arguing in your house, and you know, you're kind of cursed when you come in because there's no peace in there. And then when you go outside, maybe your neighbors don't even like you. And maybe, you know, they're on the rampage about something. So that can be a cursing. If you don't have peace, you know, it could be a curse. The Lord shall send you curses. That's very important to know. Because God is so merciful. But here, there is a time where he draws a line in the sand and says, you know what, that's enough. And God shall send you curses. Confusion. Confusion is a curse. You get so confused that you don't know what to do. You don't even know what's happening. That's never a good thing. And rebuke in every enterprise to which you set your hand until you are destroyed, perishing quickly because of the evil of your doings by which you have forsaken me. And the Lord will make the pestilence cling to you, and he has consumed you from the land unto which you go to possess. Can anybody think of a pestilence that would hang on you?
Lice.
Yes, and that can be very irritating at the least. We knew a young man that was in school, and for some reason he had lice. He had a lot of hair on all parts of his body, and he had lice. And he had lice so bad it was in his eyebrows. Yeah, that was really, I mean, you could see him and they were, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So that, you know, that is a pestilence that clings to you. Even fleas, you know, fleas will cling to your dog and then they come in the house and you got a mess on your hand because you're scratching all the time. The Lord will smite you with consumption, with fever and inflammation, fiery heat, sword and drought, blasting and mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. Inflammation is one of the things in that COVID-19. It causes a lot of inflammation. And most people will agree that COVID-19 is a virus, but they also know that it's a plague. So it's a type of a plague that's come upon us. And everybody knows if it's too hot, nobody likes that either, especially if you don't have an air conditioner. Mildew. Everybody knows that once you get mildew on something, it's not good for much of anything. You know, you get mildew on a dress or a skirt or something, you can pretty much throw it away because you're not going to get that stain, that ugly stain out.
It's the spores.
The spores.
The mildew that attacks the lungs. And
yes.
The lining of the esophagus that destroys your ability to breathe.
Yes. So it is. It's definitely a curse. Mildew is a nice word for a very destructive bacteria. And like Janie said, it'll get inside, the spores will get inside your lungs and it'll start eating whatever it wants. Okay, so that's never good. The Lord, the heavens over your head shall be brass, and the earth under you shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of your land powdered soil and dust from the heaven. It shall come down upon you until you are destroyed. You know, God has control of the elements. And, you know, he often says he gives the former rain and the latter rain. And if he doesn't give the former rain, then your dirt is going to be like powder. When you walk, it's going to flip up in the air. And if there's any bacteria in that, it'll eventually get in your lungs also. So that's not good. Yes. The Lord will cause you to be struck down before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall be tossed to and fro and be a terror among the kingdoms of the earth. Your dead body shall be food for all birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and there shall be no one to frighten them away. Hold that place. And in Revelations, Revelations 19, okay. I got these glasses on, so
they're not working.
No. Okay. And it says 1921. Okay. Actually, I'm sorry. It's 1917. Okay. Okay, so here we go. Then I saw an angel stationed at the sun's light, and a mighty voice he shouted all to all the birds that fly across the sky, "Come, gather yourselves together for the great supper." Now, this is an angel that is telling these birds, "Come to a great supper, that you may eat, that you may feast on the flesh of rulers, the flesh of generals, the flesh of captains, the flesh of powerful and mighty men, the flesh of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all humanity, both free and slave, both great and small." Then it says, "And the rest were killed with the sword, and the issues from the mouth of him who is mounted on a horse, and all the birds fed ravenously and glutted themselves with their flesh." And one, the New International Version says this, "And the rest of them were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider on the horse, and all the birds gorged themselves on the flesh." So this is a great supper that the Lord has prepared for his birds. Okay.
And the Lord,
it was an angel that talked, and it was a Lord. It was the Lord on the horse. And your dead body, I am back to Deuteronomy 28:26. "And your dead body shall be the food for all birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and there shall be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt, and the tumors, and the scurvy, and the itch, from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will smite you with madness, and blindness, and dismay of mind and of rest. You shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways, and you shall be only oppressed and robbed continually, and there shall be no one to save you." Does that sound something like what could be going on now?
Amen.
where you could be robbed and there's nobody to help? Well, how could that be? Where are the police? And then it says, you shall betroth a wife. That means you shall get married. But another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, but not live in it. You shall plant a vineyard and not gather its grapes. Can you imagine how that would make a person feel if they built a house and somebody else throwed them out and took possession of that house?
It's happening in Venezuela. It's called socialism.
Well, and it says, your ox shall be slain before your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Your donkey shall be violently taken away before your face and not restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you shall have no one to help you. You know, in the United States, we are such a blessed country.
Amen.
We've always been blessed, but sometimes we just don't appreciate
Amen.
What God has done for us.
Amen.
And so sometimes God will draw that line.
Amen.
And it could be that that line is being drawn right now.
Amen.
And woe be to the inhabitants of the earth who are not God's people, who don't love Him. Okay, I'm on 32 now. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people. Your eyes shall look and fail for the longing of them all day. And there will be no power in your hands to prevent it. That would be something that you couldn't even stop somebody from doing terrible things to you. And there was nobody there on your side. And even God, who has the power to help you, looks away and says, oh, no, no. You had your chance. But even if you fall down and repent once He gets started, He's going to finish it. God don't stop in the middle like that. He's given us full well notice. So, a nation which you have not known, here we go, shall eat up the fruit of your land and all your labors, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually, so that you shall be driven mad by the sights which your eyes shall see. You know, there are things that make you go crazy. There are things that make your blood pressure go up. There are things that make you have a heart attack. There is things that will make your stomach start hurting just because you start to think about it. And we cannot really imagine this kind of torment because we have never known anything like that. But that doesn't negate the fact that God uses whatever He wants and whomever He wants to teach people a lesson. Just like a good mother or a father will whip that child's rear end to teach them a lesson, because we have to be taught. If they won't listen to what we say, they will pay attention to what we do. The Lord will smite you on the knees and the legs with sore boils that cannot be healed. So you can forget about the doctors helping you with some of the things that God is going to do. You can forget it. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, you will have boils. Kind of like what Job had. The Lord shall bring you and your king, whom you set over you, to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known. And there you shall be forced to serve other gods of wood and stone and television and football. And you shall become an amazement, a proverb, and a byword among the people. In the New American Standards, it says, you shall become a horror, a proverb, and a taunt among the people. And then in the New International, it says, you will become a thing of horror and an object of scorn and ridicule to all of the nations where the Lord will drive you. See, if God takes his hand off of America, and you know, there's a scripture that says it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And so oftentimes we have to remember what we have done as a nation with the abortions and stuff. And we have to remember what we didn't do, why we didn't stop it, and why we've been laxy-daisy. And so, and let me tell you, these nations around us, they hate us. And when, you know, there are certain people, when you see they get what they deserve, you laugh at them or you say, okay, it came back on them. That's how they're going to do us. They're going to talk and they're going to laugh when they see us come down to a lowly place. And, okay, and you shall carry much seed out into the field, and you shall gather in little, because the locusts will consume it. You shall plant vineyards and dress them, but you shall neither drink the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm will eat them. You know, worms are really, they're very destructive. Little teeny old worm. God could send a little teeny old worm and mess everything up. Okay, you have olive trees throughout all the territory, but you shall not anoint yourselves with oil, for your olive trees shall drop their fruit. You shall beget sons and daughters, but shall not enjoy them. You know, we enjoy our children, like Bernie would say. You know, you sit out and you watch them play and laugh and do great things with their lives. We enjoy our children. But this is saying, you shall not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. And sometimes, when we talk about captivity, we think that somebody's going to take them and put a rope around them and drag them off somewhere. But a lot of times, captivity is another word for slavery. And our children can be, somebody out here said, a junkie. They could be an alcoholic. They could be on all kinds of drugs and maybe some kind of a sexual slavery. There's all kinds of ways to be, you know, in bondage. And so it talks about they shall go into captivity. You don't really enjoy people who are drunk all the time and they're slurring and then they say the same thing 12, 15 times, maybe two different ways. And so it's aggravating because they get loud. But okay, all your trees and fruit of your ground shall the locust possess. The transient or the stranger among you shall mount up higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. All these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you and engross you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. They shall be upon you for a sign and for a wonder, and upon your descendants. 47, this is really enlightening. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness. That's very important. Because, you know, in our Constitution, one of the things we have, you're allowed the pursuit of happiness. That's very big. It sounds like, it's not that big of a deal. But, you know, it is. And so, because you didn't serve God with joyfulness and in gratitude for the abundance of all which he has blessed you with, we have become an indignant bunch of people. We are ungrateful and we're ungodly. We're unappreciative of all the stuff that we have and we take it for granted. But God is saying, you know what? I don't want you to take this stuff for granted. And you know, there's an old adage, you don't miss your water until your well runs dry. And God wants us to know, look, you are on a verge of losing it all. And I believe he's saying, you're going to lose a lot in the next few months. But you can lose it all if you keep this up. And if you don't, turn around, change your mind. That's what repentance is to turn around, change your mind. Okay, therefore, you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord shall send against you. You will serve your enemies in hunger and thirst, in nakedness, and in want of all things. He will put the yoke upon your neck until he has destroyed you. You know, when God is against you, there's no hope for you. You don't have a hope anywhere, because God is mighty and he's just and he's always right. And he's never wrong. Okay. A nation of unyielding countenance. Now, the American Standard says a nation of fierce countenance. Countenance is what you look like. Is your countenance happy? Is it sad? Is it angry? But this is saying a nation of unyielding, fierce countenance who will have no respect for the old, no respect or favor to the young. He's saying he's going to send enemies to you that are going to, when you see them, you know they ain't playing. You know there is no mercy in what they're thinking or what they're about to do. And they will have no mercy for the young. Because you would think, if you're going to have mercy for anybody, you're going to have mercy for the old people. You're going to have mercy on a little cute kid. But he's saying he's going to send enemies over here that have no kind of mercy. They shall eat the fruit of your cattle and the fruit of your ground until you are destroyed, who also shall not leave you grain or new wine. They're not going to leave you oil, the increase of your cattle or the young of your sheep until they have caused you to perish. You know, we all understand that the young cattle are tender. And, you know, if you can get you a little tender piece of meat, you know, that's good. You know, you want to have tender meat. And so what he's saying is somebody's going to come and take your good meat, your best. And moreover, it shall eat. New American Standard says this. Moreover, it shall eat the offspring of your herd, that's your herd's babies, and the produce of your ground until you are destroyed, who also leaves you no grain, no new wine or oil, nor the increase of your herd or the young of your flock until they have caused you to perish. They shall besiege you in all your towns until your high and fortified walls in which you have trusted in come down. Therefore, throughout your land, they shall besiege you in all your towns, throughout your land, which the Lord God has given you. You know, the stuff that's going on in those other towns, burnings and lootings and chaos, that could come to our town. It's only just maybe three arguments away. You know, you get a race war going. You get a race war and you've got some daggone big problems. And it don't take much to get people all up in arms. Everybody knows it. And you shall eat the fruit. This one is very unsettling. We're on 53, Deuteronomy 28:53. And you shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your son and daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you, in a siege and in a pressing misery with which your enemy shall distress you. Now that's ugly, to think that you would eat your own.
Yes.
But, you know, there are times when I've said, the Republicans eat their own sometimes. Okay, we expect the Democrats to. Okay, so that he will not give to any of them any of the flesh of his children. Oh, I missed the verse. Okay. And you shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you, in a siege and in a pressing misery with which your enemy shall distress you. 54. The man who is most tender among you and extremely particular and well bred, his eyes shall be cruel and grudgingly of food toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward those of his children that are still remaining, so that he will not give any of them any of the flesh of his children, which he's eating, because he has nothing left to him in the siege and in distress with which your enemy shall distress you in your towns. So it's saying things could get so bad that a well, gentle man will eat his own kids and not share. That is very distressing that it would ever get to that. But this is God's word. Does he lie?
No,
he can't lie. So at some point, these things have happened in history. Let's just pray to God that it doesn't happen to us. The most tender and daintily bred woman among you, who would not venture to set the sole of her foot upon the ground because she is so dainty and kind, will grudge to her husband of her bosom and to her son and to her daughter. Her afterbirth that comes out from the body, and the children whom she shall bear, for she will eat them secretly for want of anything else in the siege and distress with which your enemy shall distress you in your towns. If you will not be watchful and to do all the words of this law that are written in the book, and you may reverently fear this glorious and fearful name and the presence, the Lord your God. Then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary strokes and blows, great plagues of long continuous. You hear me? He's saying that he will bring upon us great plagues. Now, it ain't the devil always. You know, sometimes we don't know whether it's God, devil, or ourselves who's causing us the most problems. But God's telling you right here, there's coming a time when he's drawing that line, and don't blame the devil for what he's doing. And once you understand it's God and not the devil, you know that there's no remedy. There's no remedy. You can't get it from the doctor. You can't get it from the government. And the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary strokes and blows, great plagues of long continuance, and grievous sickness for long duration. This is in Deuteronomy 59. Deuteronomy 28:59. Moreover, he will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. also every sickness and every affliction, which is not written in this book of the law, the Lord will bring upon you until you are destroyed. You shall be left few in number, whereas you have been as the stars in the heaven for multitude, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And as the Lord rejoiced over you and do you good to multiply you, so that the Lord will rejoice to bring ruin upon you, to destroy you, and you shall be plucked from the land from which you possess. And the Lord shall scatter you among the peoples from one end of the earth to another, and there shall be, and there, wait a minute, and there you shall be forced to serve other gods of wood and stone, which neither you nor your father have known. And among these nations you shall find no ease, and there shall be no rest for the sole of your foot. But the Lord will give you there a trembling heart, failing of eyes from disappointments of hope, where there will be no hope, fainting of the mind. Your life shall hang in doubt before you day and night. You shall be worried and have no assurance of your life. You're not going to have any hopes of living through this. All hope is gone, unless you got the promises of God. In the morning you shall say, would it that it were evening, and in the evening you shall say, would that it were morning, because of the anxiety and the dread of your minds and hearts and sights, which you shall see with your own eyes. In the New American Standard, it says this: moreover, the Lord will scatter you among the people from one end of the earth to the other end. And you shall serve other gods of wood and stone, which your fathers have not known. Among these nations, you will find no rest, and there will be no resting place for the sole of your foot. That means you're not going to stay in one place very long. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and a despair of the soul, so that your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you will be in dread night and day, and you will have no assurance of your life. New International says you will live in constant suspense, filled with dread both day and night, never sure of your life. And in the morning you will say, if it was only evening. And in the evening you would say, if it was only morning. Because the terror that will fill your hearts and the sights that your eyes will see, the Lord will send you back in ships to Egypt on a journey I said you should never make again. There you will offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but no one will buy you. Amplified says, and the Lord shall bring you into an Egypt again with ships by the way, about which I said to you, you shall never see it again. And there you shall be sold to your own enemies as bondsmen and bondswomen, but no man shall buy you. So it just sounds like you're not going to be worth much. God is a mighty God, and we need to give him what he deserves, and he deserves our praise and we do, and our thanks. We need to give a testimony. But I'm telling you, we need Jesus. And if you're out there and you're not happy and you don't know what to do about it, you need Jesus. Because that is what is going to change your life. And you might think that God's a little bit strict, but I'm telling you, he will set you free, and it's the only way. You don't even really know happiness until you know God. And so if you're a backslider, you need to at least talk to him. Get into this Word of God. What I've been reading from is Deuteronomy 28. And there's a void in us that nothing but God can fill. But Deuteronomy 28 and then you start on 13 will tell you the curses. And before that, it'll tell you the blessings. And before that, it'll tell you what he expects you to do. He expects you to act like that you are a godly person. So you need God. We all need him. And if you're experiencing anything except joy, then you're living beneath your privilege. So I'm going to close this with a prayer. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We do love you, and we want your mercy, and we're asking that you give mercy to the United States. But we know there is a price to pay for our iniquities, a price to pay for the murders of unborn babies, the people who are in government that don't give justice. We need your help. And we remember that you said that the government will be upon your shoulders. And we anticipate that. We love that. We love the sound of that. Although we know that when you start drawing that line, when you finish drawing it, there's going to be a lot of pain. But we accept that because we love you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you for everything that you've done, what you're doing, and for what you're prepared to do. And we are in full agreement with you. Thank you. Amen. Yeah.